I'm speaking today with Domingo Garcia, who is running for the new Congressional District 33 up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Domingo, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
I feel it's time that the people of the Dallas-Fort Worth area have a voice in Washington that stood for them, for middle-class family values instead of just special interest. Somebody who's going to fight for seniors, and when we're facing cuts from Republicans who want to balance the budget on the backs of seniors and children. And I just saw that there was just too much influence by special interest and not enough voices for the regular people from the Metroplex.
Okay. Now, you spent, I believe, three terms, was it, in the Texas House of Representatives. Talk to me a little bit about what you did while you were there, so what legislation you're most, what accomplishments you have that you're most proud of.
The bill that I'm most proud of is I sponsored a bill called the Texas Dream Act that allowed in-state tuition for anybody who graduated from Texas high school. And that allowed right now almost 16,000 students to go attend Texas colleges, and now nine other states have adopted that. And that is sort of on the forefront of trying to get bipartisan support for immigration reform. In addition, I also sponsored a bill that makes stalking a criminal offense in the state of Texas as a bill to protect women from domestic violence. This is a bill that I also co-authored, and now is a law in 50 states. And third, I also was the co-author of the bill for the 10% bill that allows the top 10% of graduates from any high school to attend any college of their choice. Originally, it was 20%, but it wound up 10% after the legislative process. And at that time, our chairperson, Irma Hint, was the one who was able to push it forward as the chair of the committee, but I was the co-author of that bill and sponsor of that bill. So those three, I think, are some of the best memories I have of the legislative years that I was in Austin.
You talk about the Dream Act. As I recall, that passed in the legislative session 2001, and as I also recall, it got something like 141 votes out of the state out of the House. I think it's fair to say that the political climate has changed a little for that, unfortunately. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, when I knew that bill went forward, I knew it was going to be controversial. So I actually got three Republican sponsors as well as three Democrats, and so it was a bipartisan bill. It passed on the House floor with a bipartisan vote, and it was signed by Governor Perry in 2001. And that shows that we can get things done when we start working on things that unite us instead of focusing on things that divide us.
All right. Prior to being in the legislature, you also served as a member of Dallas City Council. What experience did you have back then as a member of a city government in dealing with the congressional delegation that represented Dallas? And, as a congressperson, how would you improve the way that the national government, Congress in particular, deals with local governments like cities?
Well, what I think that's unique to this race is having been a city council member and being elected mayor pro tem by my colleagues when there were only two Latinos on the city council back in 1993. I saw firsthand that we needed to get federal dollars for community block grants that help neighborhoods, pave streets, get sidewalks done, helped small businesses and startup nonprofits get funding so they can make a difference in local neighborhoods. So our particular mayor at the time was Steve Bartlett, who was a former congressperson, and he was useful. And then I dealt with our congressional delegations, also ended up getting federal dollars, and I made several trips to Washington, D.C. to lobby the congressional delegation and our two U.S. senators to get additional funding for different programs, such as our matching dollars for development of the treaty, funds for basically we helped pave and put storm sewers in all of West Dallas, an area that had been neglected for the entire lifetime that it had been part of Dallas. So that's something unique that I bring to the table that none of the other candidates, I think, bring.
Okay. As a member of Congress, obviously, the economy is the big issue these days. What legislation or policies would you pursue or support to, help improve the economy and maintain the recovery that we've had?
Number one, I would support President Obama with the American Jobs Act. I believe it's time that we put more teachers in the classrooms, police officers on the streets, construction workers to work on our infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways. This is how you get America going, putting money on Main Street instead of in Wall Street. So that is one aspect of it. Two, I want the Small Business Administration and banks to open up the loan process for small businesses. I believe Small Business Administration loans need to be expanded to help entrepreneurs, especially the new ones that are emerging in inner city neighborhoods like in Dallas and Fort Worth and Arlington and Irving. And microloans to stay-at-home moms and recent college graduates who with $5,000 or $10,000 can start their business, start their company up, and continue the growth that we can see to make sure that we recover from the Bush debacle depression that we had in 2008.
Another thing we hear a lot about these days has to do with inequalities in the tax code. High-income people, especially people who have income largely derived from investments and capital gains, often seem to pay lower taxes than lower income folks. What would you do about that?
I would support the proposal of the Buffett rule that would eliminate the tax loopholes for billionaires and millionaires. I think you need to pay their fair share, and the fact that they hire lobbyists to convince both Republican and Democratic congresspersons to give them those loopholes, I think is atrocious, and that's what's wrong right now with Washington, is that we're letting money corrupt the system, and it corrupts it in favor of the top 1%. I want to be a voice for the other 99%. But we also have tax loopholes for corporations. 30 of Fortune 500 corporations paid no taxes last year. Loopholes are given for them to put their money in offshore bank accounts to send their jobs overseas to other countries and outsource different types of activity. I think that needs to be come to an end, and I would support cutting loopholes, tax loopholes, and all these special rules and regulations for the top 1% that don't apply to everybody else.
Okay. Let's come back to immigration here. What does comprehensive immigration reform look like to you?
To me, it means that anybody who's been here for at least 3 years or more would be able to apply for permanent legal residency as long as they can show that there's no criminal background or any type of mental illness in their background. And if they pay a fine, if they take English classes, and they get in line and pay a fine, they would be able to become permanent residents and come out of the shadows and become productive members of society. And then there would be a pathway to citizenship, maybe 5 years, maybe a little more, but they would be able to become U.S. citizens and be able to become part of the American dream. And, America will live up to what's enshrined on the base of the Statue of Liberty about America being a country of immigrants. Give me your poor, whole masses yearning to be free. Well, America needs to live up to its creed, and that's what I believe immigration reform will do.
Now, as someone who sponsored a Dream Act here in Texas, I think it's safe to say that you would support the one that Democrats tried to pass in 2009. The Republicans are now touting their own version of a Dream Act. What's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is that at least they're finally talking about coming forward with some type of method to address it. I don't think that what Senator Mark Rubio, who's a Republican from Florida, is proposing is the right track. But at least he's talking about it, and instead of just being saying that they're going to veto it like Mitt Romney. So the Republicans know they made a colossal political blunder by alienating Latinos across the country with their strong anti-immigrant rhetoric and their anti-Hispanic legislation, such as what we've seen in Arizona and in Georgia. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Maybe the Republicans have seen the light, and we can start looking at a bipartisan attempt at immigration reform in 2013.
Okay. Let's talk briefly about health care. As you know, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is being litigated before the Supreme Court. We won't know for a little while how they rule, on the assumption that they uphold it. In what ways would you like to see the Affordable Care Act extended, modified, changed? What would you do to it in, you know, sort of the next round of revisions?
I would uphold it, and if portions of it are struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, I would be a strong advocate for making sure that every American was provided with adequate health care. In my opinion, health care should not be a privilege for the few. It should be the right for every American in this country. And Americans should not be having to face decisions whether they pay the mortgage or the car payment or pay their doctor for a loved one who's fell ill or sick. That's not the American way. That's not how you treat family. So that is one thing that I would want to see strengthen and continue to grow, because almost every major industrialized country on the planet has health care for all its citizens. And the United States cannot make that as an option that only those with money will have access to, while everybody else is just relegated to an emergency room at a public health hospital, which again burdens local taxpayers.
Okay. And, you know, somewhere along the line, contraception became a controversial issue this year. I'm sure you're familiar with the rule and the compromise that the Obama administration put forward to deal with religious institutions and providing contraception coverage for their employees. What's your opinion on that situation?
I support Planned Parenthood. I think it's important that women have the right to choose what they want to do in terms of their health care. No government official, nobody in a church should tell a woman what to do regarding her health care and her family planning. That is a decision for the woman to make, and I strongly believe that we need to let them make those decisions instead of churches or governmental entities.
Okay. You know, the North Texas and, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area has been one of the hotbeds for the issue of fracking. What do you see as being, you know, do you see a need for, you know, additional regulations on the process of, you know, hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking, for trying to, you know, get to enter, I guess it's gas that they're trying to get out of the ground?
Recent studies have shown that fracking is responsible for earthquakes throughout the Midwest and Southwest region of the United States. That fracking has also been responsible for polluting air as well as water tables. So I believe that in high urban in high urban density populated areas, like urban areas like Dallas and Fort Worth and other areas, that we need to have a moratorium on fracking until there can be new guidelines put up by the Environmental Protection Agency that would protect the populations in these areas. And we know that it's safe and that it's secure for all the people who live in that area. Right now, we have benzene going in the air. We have water tables that are being contaminated. And that is too high a risk to allow this fracking to occur in areas like Dallas and Fort Worth and the mid-cities that put people, and especially seniors and young children, at risk with these elevated levels of polluted air.
I mean, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and in particular some of the surrounding areas, have also been one of the flashpoints for battles over the environment. You know, the way, like the cement plants that are in, you know, like in Ellis County, you know, causing pollution in Dallas. You know, the Environmental Protection Agency has become kind of a flashpoint here in Texas, with it being made a villain by some of our state leaders. You know, what's your view of the role of the Environmental Protection Agency in Texas? You know, are they overstepping their bounds? Should we leave what we're doing to the TCEQ? What's your view on this situation?
I think EPA is the defense for Texans to making sure that we have clean air and clean water. I would do everything in my power as a congressperson for the 33rd Congressional District to ensure that EPA had the funding and the resources to crack down on polluters who are polluting our air, polluting our water, and make sure they make examples of a few of these so that everybody follows the law, follows the rules. You know, clean air and clean water should be a bipartisan issue. It should be an American issue, not a Republican or Democratic one. And I'm really tired of the obscene gestures and methods that the oil and gas industry does to try to cover up the fact that they're polluting our air, polluting our water through these sources. I think that there can be a compromise can be reached, but we have safe methods to do this, and EPA can put in rules and regulations that will allow them to drill for gas, provide for energy needs, at the same time protecting our population centers. The second thing I think is we need to go to green energy. I believe that we need to look at alternative forms of energy so that makes us less dependent on oil and gas, and that includes wind, solar, and other sources of energy that will make us truly independent as a country and less dependent on foreign sources.
The current map that congressional candidates and legislative candidates are running under was the second interim map drawn by the court in San Antonio. They had to do it, as you know, they had to do it a second time because of the Supreme Court telling them that the first one wasn't proper. This map, in particular the congressional map, was the result of a compromise between some of the plaintiffs, including the Texas Latino Redistricting Task Force and the Attorney General's office. Some of the other plaintiffs were not on board with this plan. It was their contention that that the plaintiffs could have gotten more out of it. We're still waiting on the D.C. court to rule on this, so we'll know for sure when they do. You know, what do you think that the congressional map that we're all dealing with this year was the best the plaintiffs could have done? What would you like to see the D.C. court do to address any remaining legalities?
Well, the problem is the Republicans control the Texas legislature. And even though Texas got four congressional districts as a result of an 85% growth in African American Latino populations, the legislature, the Republican legislature, passed a map that gave all four districts, congressional districts, to Republicans and basically packed and cracked Latino and African American communities. One of my opponents, Mark Vizzi, was on the redistricting committee, and he was basically helpless as he got run over by this Republican onslaught and did little or nothing to stop this from passing. We, the Latino Redistricting Task Force, filed the first lawsuit. We challenged the Republicans. We fought Republicans at every level. And when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the first map, we continued fighting, and we were able to get two new Democratic Latino districts in Texas from the four that originally had been all going to Republicans. In my book, that's a victory. That's how you get the results and solutions. Is this the final one? No. I do think we can do better. This is an interim map. A remedial map will come somewhere in the future after the D.C. court makes their findings, and we hope to go back to court and see if we can get another or one or two congressional districts that will favor minorities as well as Democrats.
Okay. If after the primary, if you are the nominee in District 33, it's a big field, obviously. If you're the nominee and President Obama calls you up and says, "Domingo, I'd like to come, help campaign with you and have a visit in your district," what would you like President Obama to talk about in District 33?
The main issue is jobs. The concern across the board is, "Mr. President, this is Domingo Garcia. I'm here reporting for duty. And the first thing we need to do is find jobs for the people of District 33. It's a working class district. It's an area where we need jobs that in the construction area. So construction jobs. We need to make sure that we have our service and retail sector working. We need to have jobs for our young people who are graduating from college and high school that they can get into their good paying and to provide good benefits. And that's what I would focus on in terms of my first term, is seeing what we can do to bring jobs to Congressional District 33.
Since you mentioned young people, a big issue that they face these days is the cost of going to college and student, the debt level that they carry. What do you want to see done about that?
Number one, I think that tuition should be tax deductible, so that parents who have students in college, or students who are paying their way through college — I paid my way through school for undergrad and law school — would be able to deduct that tuition from their taxes. I believe that is overdue, and that is a way to encourage people to go to college without it being such a heavy financial burden. Number two, we need to expand the Pell Grants and our scholarship assistance. that we provide to low-income students, so that, again, everybody has a shot at the American dream, because I believe education is how you break the cycle of poverty, especially in low-income areas like in Commercial District 33. And third, student loans. Right now, they're set to double the interest rates from, I believe, like 3.3 to 6.8 or something like that. I think we need to make sure that we keep the interest rates low so that college is still affordable, and it's affordable to everybody, not just a select few.
Okay. And as I mentioned, this is a large field. I believe it's 11 candidates running for this nomination. When people go to vote on May 29th, why should they vote to make you the first member of Congress from District 33 and not one of your many opponents?
Because I bring a unique experience, having been at City Hall as a council member and mayor pro tem, having been a state representative for 6 years, and owning my own law firm, which has offices in 5 cities with over 100 employees, a successful business that spans the state of Texas. I have both private and public sector experience and proven results in every area that I have ever done. And we need somebody who will be a voice for the people and somebody that not will be beholden to special interests that can't be bought or rented, that will always fight for the voters who put them in office. And that's what I want to do, because by running for this position, I'm actually taking a pay cut. But I'm doing it not because I want any power or any type of fame or anything like that. I'm doing it because I think we can make a difference when people stand up. And I've seen it happen at a street level and at state government. And I want to do that in Washington, D.C. I see that's where the challenge is. For the first time in the history of America, we've seen the largest transfer of wealth since 1928 from the working and middle-class families to the top 1%. That has to stop. If it doesn't, that will destroy America in the long term. So I want to be a voice for that middle-class and working-class family that says we need an America that's fair and that gives opportunity to everybody and that it's inclusive. And I want to include everybody in the young and old, gay or straight, black, white, brown, yellow, all in one American family.
Okay. Domingo Garcia, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.